Hello from the Financial Times in London. I'm Malcolm Moore, and this is News and Focus, where we offer our insights into the stories that matter. The Israeli company whose spyware hacked WhatsApp has told buyers it has a new way to circumvent the defences of some of the biggest technology companies, according to sources close to the matter. Here with the story is Mehul Srivastava, our correspondent in Tel Aviv, and Tim Bradshaw, our global tech correspondent. Let's first catch up with the scoop that Mehul, you and Tim broke a few months ago about WhatsApp and the vulnerability in WhatsApp that was found by this company. Can we talk a little bit about what happened there and what has happened since then?
Certainly. So this company, the NSO Group, is famous for creating a piece of software called Pegasus, which it sells to law enforcement and spy agencies around the world. Pegasus is one of those surreptitious surveillance things that they can plant onto your phone remotely. And then it takes over all the activities of the phone. It can turn on the camera, the recording, etc. When we reported the WhatsApp story, what we had found out was that they had figured out a way to make a missed call on your WhatsApp, which would then allow them to insert the code into your phone. They would do this maybe when you were asleep or not paying attention. And if they were able to take over the phone, they could delete the call and you would never know that they were in there.
So you wouldn't have to answer the call. You didn't have to press any button.
Nothing.
They just needed your phone number?
Yes, exactly. The way it works is generally by tracking the number of the person. There's other ways to get it in. WhatsApp is so prevalent. It was on pretty much everybody's phone. It was a natural target for a company that's trying to do this sort of thing. So they created the software. They sold it to many of their clients who they don't identify. Researchers around the world have more or less figured out that there's an overwhelming burden of evidence that says that maybe it includes countries like Saudi Arabia, maybe it includes countries like Mexico, etc. And there's lawsuits that allege this in Israel. When we reported that story, WhatsApp closed that breach, and the company had to move on to find other ways to get Pegasus onto the phones of targets.
Okay, and this news story, it's not about a different way of getting Pegasus onto a phone. But when Pegasus is on the phone, we think it can now do much more than just gather the data from that phone, according to some people we've spoken to and the documents that we've seen.
So there's a series of documents that we examined that are essentially sales pitches to various governments around the world. This company builds a registered weapon in Israel, and so it's regulated by the Ministry of Defense over there. So these documents are initially approaches to some of the governments that they thought would be interested in the subject. And they've been shared with us from reliable people. And when you examine these documents, it shows that Pegasus now, it turns out, has an additional ability where what it does is that it copies what the tech industry calls the authentication tokens, which are essentially very, very sophisticated, personally tailored cookies, if you want to call them that, that allow you to keep access to all your data that's not stored on your phone, but is stored on the cloud. And once they take these tokens, they're able to replicate them somewhere else and mimic your smartphone and create an independent connection. It's unclear whether this has been successfully used for quite some time or not. We're basing this on these documents, which are essentially sales pitches.
And the sales pitches list a number of apps which they would be able to gather data from the cloud from. So can we run through some of those apps?
The sales pitches mention some of the biggest tech majors in the world, from Facebook, Amazon, Google Drive, your iCloud, etc., which is essentially the largest treasure trove you could imagine of a person's last few years or whatever he's been backing up, include location data, updated contacts, maybe stuff that they have at some point tried to archive or remove, old documents, databases, just a deep, rich, full history of that person's online life.
It also includes the fact that you can capture information from the cloud that's updated from other devices, not just the smartphone that Pegasus is infected. So if you've put documents from a laptop or a tablet or another smartphone, that's all going to be in there. So the distinction is that there's just a wider array of data from a longer amount of time from multiple different devices rather than just your phone, which already has a lot, but it's more of a kind of snapshot of where you are now rather than several years of your life.
And Tim, where does this leave the tech industry? Our entire lives have basically moved onto the cloud, and they're all being stored on servers of Silicon Valley companies. If that's not secure, what can they do about it?
It's a really hard one for them to detect and fix. It's very different to the WhatsApp vulnerability, which is a single piece of software that they were able to tell 1.5 billion people to update their app through the App Store in the way that we do pretty often. The problem with this one is we're not sure how Pegasus is getting onto the phones in the first place at the moment. That's largely the responsibility of Apple with iOS and Google with Android and some of the other smartphone makers to try and patch. And that's a constant game of cat and mouse. But the issue with this token stealing and stealing the sort of authenticated session, if you like, and moving it off the phone is NSO sells its technology to people who are only targeting a very small number of individuals. And these are companies with hundreds of millions and billions of customers. So finding that one aberrant endpoint, the one sort of thing that looks like it's a phone, but actually something's not quite right about it, and we're not quite sure why, because part of the success of what NSO is trying to do is that it advertises its services as being very good and hard to detect. Like, it's just a needle in a haystack.
Okay. And are all the tech companies in the same position, or are some more secure than others?
I think it exploits a vulnerability in how everyone in Silicon Valley authenticates users. If you didn't have these authentication tokens installed on your phone, you'd have to enter your password every single time. We're obviously encouraged to use two-factor authentication, so that would mean you'd have to get a text message or pull something from a code generator app. And it would be incredibly laborious, and people would probably not use those apps as often as they do. And so there's this trade-off between usability and convenience on the one side and security on the other. And if many of these companies are offering these apps for free, and it's partly about gathering data about you to fuel their other advertising-based business models, so they want to keep you logged in and they want to keep it easy to use. So there's not been another solution to that that's both easier and more secure than keeping you logged in through these cookie-like authentication tokens. And that's the weakness that this whole system is exploiting. You have to kind of rethink the way the industry approaches security to really solve it.
So they want to make it easy for us to use their apps, but inadvertently there may be some loopholes here and there, which bad actors can exploit.
I mean, that's a constant trade-off. There is a constant tension between usability and security. And so that's why maybe your online banking app makes you put your password in every time, but your Facebook Messenger doesn't, because the financial data is more sensitive. But we've all got used to the convenience of that, and we've all got used to using these devices all the time, and we forget how much information they're taking off our device and pulling into the cloud already.
I mean, I guess one question is there any option for us, any of us, other than using the cloud and having our stuff, stored and moving seamlessly back and forth between our phones and the cloud? That's just the way that life is set up now, right?
Right. I mean, the practical fix to this specific capability that NSO is said to be marketing is that you should change your password and log out centrally from all the sessions on all devices that every one of those apps is logged into. And that works up until Pegasus infects your phone again, in which case it can just take a new batch of tokens and clone them again. So in the short term, if you are one of the presumably quite small number of people who feel that you might have been targeted by this, then that's the only kind of immediate way of doing it. But no, I mean, the only alternative for people who are worried about this kind of data collection or interception more generally is just not to put things in the cloud.
Okay. Mehul, turning back to NSO now, we say that Pegasus is regulated by the Israeli government and it's only sold to a few people. What more do we know about who might be using this and who they might be using it against? And where are some of the concerns?
Well, I mean, the offensive cyber is what they call this industry, is very established in Israel because of the background of a lot of the engineers who've had some amount of training in the Israeli military, which is famous for their signals intelligence and cyber intelligence units. The reason NSO is of significant interest to the press and to human rights advocates, et cetera, is not because of Pegasus. Is Pegasus's legitimate use by law enforcement or by spy agencies, but because over time they've been able to trace the usage of this phone. It's very difficult to find, it's very laborious, but they've been able to trace it to people who have no expectation of being monitored by their or other governments, including anti-obesity activists in Mexico and journalists and their wives in Mexico again, a human rights activist who's anti the current government in Saudi Arabia and lives in Canada. And these cases are working their way through Israeli and Cypriot courts to see who has to share liability for this. This may be a very good point to point out that NSO has consistently denied any knowledge of abuse. They say they've created a system where they produce a piece of software and then they sell it to people that are authorized to use it, both by the Israeli government and after analysis and study by an ethics committee of the usage they want to do, that country's own reputation, etc. and that in their own examination, they found maybe 3 or 4 instances of abuse, and they took an opportunity to correct that as they will. And in this specific instance, the company has been quite clear that they have not developed anything that's a mass hacking or mass surveillance tool. And the full statement that the company gave to us, it includes a line that's their denial, which says, "We do not provide or market any type of hacking or mass collection capabilities to any cloud applications, services, or infrastructure."
So is that a denial?
If you read our story quite carefully, as I'm sure they have, you'll see that we do not allege, even for 1 second, that they have developed some sort of mass surveillance activity or that they have hacked into the servers of these companies. We point out that their sales pitches and their documents, which we receive from reliable sources, show them marketing this capability, which involves impersonating a phone or a phone's authentication tokens. It does not involve in any way or form hacking into the servers of these technology majors.
I do think that's an important clarification anyway. And we've had a further statement from NSO stating that its products do not include, and the company did not develop, hacking capabilities to any cloud applications, services, or infrastructure. This isn't a situation where the total infrastructure has been assaulted. You know, this isn't a backdoor type of a situation.
They haven't broken in.
Right. And so what they're doing is the technique involves, because you've stolen that key, you can sort of siphon out information from the cloud to the device. And then once it gets onto the device, it can be scraped and gathered into a more analyzable form, which they can then use to build a better picture. You know, intelligence agencies can use to build a better picture of their target. So the data is sort of coming down from the cloud onto a copied version of the compromised device. This is not a situation where the cloud infrastructure itself is penetrated by some kind of spyware. It's being pulled out.
And that's what makes it so difficult to detect from the tech company's side.
I mean, we, as you can imagine for the story, we spoke to a lot of the tech majors, and we know they're investigating the issue, but they also fully understand how difficult this is and how surreptitious this is and how large a universe that they have to apply through to find the very limited number of individuals. And within that, you have to then assess whether or not these are legitimate intelligence targets or not. This is a time-consuming and laborious process.
I mean, the other comments that we've had back from the tech companies say that the best way of protecting yourself against any kind of security problem is to make sure that you update your apps and your software and the operating system on your device in a timely fashion. Microsoft talks about maintaining a healthy device, and Apple's sort of comment is that they claim that they run the safest and most secure computing platform in the world. And there's certainly evidence that suggests that iOS is somewhat more resilient than Android because it's central. They control the hardware and the software together, and they can update the operating system more easily than the long tail of hardware makers that rely on Android, which slightly complicates the way that software updates are issued. But it's a really difficult thing for them to find. And like I say, Pegasus has been around for several years, and NSO is still finding ways back into these devices, both iPhones and Androids, and including most of the latest models.
And part of the documents that we've seen, they show that this company, first of all, this is a $1 billion company. This is not a small group of people. They have several hundred engineers, employees, salespeople around the world. They do assure their clients in some of the sales pitches that we've seen that everything is a work in progress. And that is the business model over here, that we can find loopholes. And these loopholes can then be weaponized, if you want to call it that, which is what the Israeli government calls it, and make it available to intelligence agencies around the world for their own surveillance needs. The question in front of this company, especially in the courts in Israel and Cyprus, is whether or not they share liability for any possible abuse by one of their customers.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mehul. Thank you, Tim. And thank you for listening. Don't forget, if you missed our recent episodes on the new European Commission chief, the race to get back to the moon, or workplace stress, you can find them on all your usual podcast platforms.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.